Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Great to see you all here on this wondrous day. As I walked through this season of Lent these last few weeks, there was this recurring memory that kept coming to me. Do you ever have this happen? A memory comes to you, you're not sure why. It's almost like your unconscious is coming forward. And I began wondering, why is this memory coming to me? And as I got closer to this Easter celebration and thinking of what I could share today, this memory was making a lot of sense to me. And I want to share a bit of that memory with you. I was in seminary many, 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 many years ago in the 1970s. And part of seminary formation was academic formation, spiritual formation, and also what I like to call ministry formation. That is, having the experience of various ministries, many perhaps that you'd never experienced before, to just sort of broaden and expand your sense of call. One of those ministries that I became involved in is what I want to share with you today, and that's the memory that kept coming back to me. In the 1950s and 60s, there was a priest called Father Dan Egan. He was a priest in New York City, and he was in a parish. And he began observing in his parish area, in the neighborhood where he was, there were so many young teenage girls who were sort of living on the streets. They seemed to not have a home. They were getting by and making money any way they could. And many of them were addicted to drugs. And he was a young priest then, and he just couldn't understand what was going on. These folks seemed to be marginalized at the edges of society, and there didn't seem to be a whole lot of interest in changing that. He even went to the church to find ways to begin something and couldn't even get any traction there. So he began this ministry really on his own. And he began reaching out to these young girls. And to fast forward years later, he began a residential program where young teenage girls could come and live for about a year and a half to 2 years, usually. There were usually around, I think, were 40 to 50 young girls in this program. When I was in seminary, I got to meet this Father Dan Egan, and I had heard of him. For those of you who are older, there was a book written about him in the 1960s called The Junkie Priest. Catchy title, but it was about this ministry that he had started in his life. And I met him, and he's one of the people in my life that I can't forget. He was so true to his faith walk and living this walk. And I found a way that I could be part of this program that he had started. A few times a week, all the young women, teenagers in this program would meet for what was called group. And usually five or six girls in a group. Usually there was someone who was a senior, kind of experienced in the program, who was in that group providing some help and guidance. And then there was a leader in each group. And I was trained at that time to be one of those leaders. So I would go up to this residential program, and a few times a week, actually. It was about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of New York City. And facilitate these groups. Not only did I watch and see the transformation of these young women, but I was transformed in ways that I'll never forget. I was changed so much in that experience. The program was called New Hope Manor. New Hope Manor. And what the program really was about was offering new hope. New hope to these young women who had been defined by a society, pushed to the margins, and were really experiencing a transformation in their lives of new hope, of new possibility. As I walked through this season of Lent, I began to kind of realize why that memory was coming to me. We are living in such an incredible time. We're living in a world coming out of COVID, hopefully, that has caused such incredible divisiveness and such injustice. We live in a society of incredible injustice. We live in a time of war that is beyond our grasp to fathom. We've become isolated in so many ways. We've become divided in so many ways. And we can kind of begin to just accept that and live like that. We can become almost locked into our own tombs, the stones rolled in place. And it's just the way it is. Just like I saw those young girls years ago, almost locked into a tomb until the stone was rolled away for new possibilities and new hope. And so this Easter, I invite us to perhaps see this Easter feast as an invitation to us for new hope, for new possibilities, for new life as we go forward in this Easter season. In our time, in our world, all of us, all of our ancestors who walked before us, they lived their faith in their time, in their place, in their experiences. And we're called to do no different. We live in our time, in our place, in our space. And how can we develop this idea of new hope? Jesus was not who was expected. The religious leaders did not expect in the Holy One who Jesus was. I'd like to suggest today that we own that a little bit, that we open ourselves to new possibilities, even in understanding the way we've shaped and created our own worlds, our own meaning systems, our own faith, our own spirituality. How can we open ourselves to those new possibilities? These last few months, there have been quite a few people here at St. Paul's who have passed away, who've left us. It was an incredibly emotional few months. And one of these individuals, I was able to visit the day that she died, actually. And as I visited with the family and her, we found this little piece of paper on the nightstand next to her bed, and there was something written on it. And we weren't sure if it was something that she had written or made up, or whether it was something that she had taken from someone else, an author. And we kind of researched the quote, and it's actually from a book that's written by Barbara Brown Taylor, who's an Episcopal priest and spiritual writer. And in the book, she's quoting somebody. And here's the quote. How do we get to this newness? How do we be like the people in Jesus' time who had to open themselves to new possibilities? The quote is this. Listen to it a couple times. It's very short. Spirituality is the active pursuit of the God I didn't make up. Spirituality is the active pursuit of the God I didn't make up. Sit with that quote. I've been sitting with that for a couple of months. In our lives, we can become so taken with what we've created, our meaning system, even our faith. We can come to a sense of, this is who God is, and I'm going to own this. But what Jesus did is blow open that stone to new understandings, to new possibilities. I think Easter this year can call us to a newness of faith, a newness of the journey, a pursuit, and at times maybe letting go of the God that we think we kind of control or own or know, but open ourselves ever more to this journey. This journey is endless that we walk. We come to new understandings. Just look at the relationships you have, those you've committed your life to. It's a continual journey of new understanding and newness. Why would our faith be any different? Why would this spiritual journey be any different? So as we gather this day, I remember those young women who transformed my life. I've kept in touch with a couple of them, and it's just an incredible journey. And I see why that was coming to me during this Lenten season. So I offer that thought to you today, that Easter, now in our lives, can invite us to new hope, to new life. Roll away the stone. Step out of the way that perhaps we've defined everything. And building on that, continue to learn new things, new experiences as we go forth. In a world that needs us, in a world that needs this message of Jesus, in a world that needs this message of Easter, our world needs new hope. It needs new possibilities. It needs new life. And so let us today begin here as we are fed and nourished to go forth into this world. Happy Easter.